is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Good afternoon, Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm back up north here in Jersey. Last week I was down in Orlando, as you guys heard. As at the Spring Conference, Disaster Recovery Journal Spring Conference, and they also have a fall conference that's going to be in San Diego. Don't know if I'll be able to get out there to that one, but it's good to be, I guess, you know, I could be like an old radio guy. It's good to be back. So anyway, it's to have the mic. But last week was very cool. I thought I got some comments on the comments page, and people emailed me and stuff like that. And it was exciting to like do a show and have all these guests coming up to the table and what do you guys do and blah 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 blah. So it was really cool. And I'm hoping we've grown with more listeners. And like I said, there was some heavy hitters down there. I mean, it's really kind of a who's who of business continuity. But the, you know, disaster recovery, really. I mean, business continuity, but the focus is disaster recovery. I mean, you had IBM, Oracle, SunGard. We had an interview with Kelly Baig from SunGard. They have a mobile command center, basically, 30 of them throughout the states. You heard the article. You heard the interview. So tap into that a little later on. AT&T, Verizon. They also had a mock disaster by Business Guard Inc. It was really, really cool. And a lot of thanks go out to Bob Arnold who invited us down there. He is the CEO of Disaster Recovery Journal. It was kind of cool to when we got down there, we got to the show and you know, walking, guys are like kind of waving to me. He's like, "Hey, Chris, how you doing?" I'm like, "Wow, that's kind of cool. You know, it's, some people recognize me." And you know, that was, you know, people from around different parts of the country know of the show. And they're, you know, some with ACP and some with the Disaster Recovery Journal. And then, you know, meeting Bob. And that was very cool. I had him on the show, as you know. Huge production down there. Huge production. Tons of classes, continuing education and things like that, and seminars. And again, just want to say thanks to Bob. And also, I had George Sanvitaro. He's the chief meteorologist for PC Weather Products. George is a Nutley guy, but lives somewhere else in the country now. They have a very cool product about tracking hurricanes, and that's the business I'm in. After these things land, you know, I employ my folks and myself, and we try to do the best we can, and it's pretty darn good. You know, our Service Master franchises throughout the country, we converge on these hot zones after these hurricanes, and we do our due diligence, if you will, and try to help our fellow Americans and citizens and such like that. So I want to say thanks to George. Also, we had Mike Gifford, who was the president and CEO of ACP, Association of Contingency Planners. Mike and I were able to spend a couple minutes but the day before. That was cool. You know, he was on the show before, but you know, to see the little face to face, it was exciting for me because Mike's got a lot of passion about building the membership and getting the word out, because the ACP is really moving in the right direction. It's getting on par with other government. It's not a government entity, but getting the word out and assisting the business community. And it kind of dovetails into my guest later on in the show. We're going to talk about community and everything that it involves with the community and preparedness. You're going to love this program. I spent some time with her on the phone the other day, and a lot of things she talked about just opened my eyes onto some of their areas. So stick around. It's going to be very good. And also Kelly Baig, who was from SunGard. And Kelly was telling us about the numerous products that SunGard has there. I mean, they're a monster in the business continuity world, big heavy hitter, and rightfully so. They have some great products. And Kelly, I was fascinated with the command center, the mobile command center. They can act as pharmacies. They can be converted into post offices, and you know, in numerous other facilities. So that was, you know, that's a kind of a kick the tires, touchy feely thing. They have a live, real time weather, and it's really you know, these things are employed in the hot zones, if you will, tornadoes, hurricanes, things like that, to keep really the communities up and running. So thanks to those guests there. We put some in the can also. We have Steve Fisher. He's an ACP guy down in Florida. He's in business continuity, but on a larger scale, internationally and nationally. Also was a radio guy. He was up here. He was on 1010 Winds for some time, and so that was kind of cool to interview him. And what a smooth individual he was. He just flowed across that mic. So I was enthused about that, and the overall experience was fantastic. It just really was. And I'm hoping we gain some more listeners throughout the country. I mean, you can listen to us on drhradio.net. You know, the live stream, excuse me. I'm really not a technical guy, so I needed that little stream information. So it's a live stream, so it's drhradio.net. And you could sign up for the podcast. Really sign up for the podcast. Listen, you get little blips and blurbs. So I have numerous guests on particular programs, and if you're just looking for, you know, like Billy Farron from... Billy Farron, who's a state trooper here in Jersey, and he is the president of No Games Gear and Home of the Bug, which is... It's a ballistic undergarment. Billy, I know you're probably on the road, so you're not listening. But and then we had Ready Mask, the guys from Ready Mask. That was, you know, John and Tom. These guys are, you know, they're on the website. You can go. We have links to their websites, and it's you know, we saw these. It was really great. My brother was able to get with these guys, and they had the same kind of passion of getting the word out. And these I mean, they're products, but you know what? Life-saving products, and I think you know, Billy's gear is more for the law enforcement, and hopefully he moves forward in that and the military. But maybe there'll be a citizen type of gear that Bill will come up with also, and also the ready mask is an everyday use kind of mask for different applications. You know, average, you know, doing construction and doing home repairs or in the field and things like that. Mm-hmm. Any old house. So we're almost rock and rolling for our first break. Let's see. What else did I miss? Did I miss anything else? Nah, I don't think so. I mean, there's some other. I want to give a shout out to Arthur Fuller of Washington Post Media. Arthur was on a couple of months ago. I was able to see him face to face. That's kind of cool again. You know, you know, some of my guests, a majority of the guests are actually call-ins because they're from around the different parts of the country, and very busy schedules because they're obviously the entrepreneurs or they're working for somebody, and you know, to take time off to come to the station. Sometimes it's just not logistically feasible, if you will. I think I did all the, and there's numerous people. I mean, Andy Weitzberg, you know, and Shelley, you know, these people are all part of this. Andrew Smith and the Metro ACP, he was down there. Our booth was right next to there. So anyway, why don't we go to a break? Stay with us. Really jacked up program today. So stay with us and pay a couple bills. Be right back.
When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
For every soldier who served in Vietnam, there is a story. There are stories of suffering and strength, courage and self-sacrifice. But as time takes its toll on the surviving veterans, many of these stories could be lost forever. The Education Center at the Wall will preserve and display photos, letters, and memories of veterans so their stories and service will never be forgotten. Visit buildthecenter.org and help us build it.
A message from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
Welcome back, Disaster Recovery Hour. It is Tuesday between 1 and 2 p.m. WVNJ 1160. I am your host every Tuesday, Chris Plunkett. I'm about to. I have to slow down here because my next guest is on the phone. She's calling in from Louisiana, New Orleans. Bonnie Canal. Bonnie, you there?
I sure am, Chris.
How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How about yourself?
I'm okay. It's beautiful weather. I understand you have nice weather also.
Yeah, absolutely gorgeous. Just a little warm, but absolutely gorgeous.
It's perfect right now for us up here. Let me just read some of the bio for you, Bonnie. Bear with me. I know it's old hat for you, new hat for me. Bonnie is a nationally recognized leader in community resilience innovations and strategies and is the founder and managing partner of the Resilience Institute, TRI for short. It's a full-service consultant firm focused on comprehensive community preparedness and resiliency by engaging the entire community. That's what I think is fantastic about what this interview is going to be about, because when you and I were talking, it's something I haven't I've heard it, but I haven't heard the passion of, because let's call it what it is. You were there in Katrina, and Katrina is very alive and well in your neck of the woods still. The rest of the country has moved on, but there are hurdles and challenges and resiliency and sustainability and the people and businesses. I mean, it's a whole community of 250,000 people, some not coming back. So let's start with, I mean, we talked yesterday for so long and we had so many things we were throwing. And then this morning when I was recapping, I'm trying to write down what we were talking about. I'm like, I there was too many things I can't remember. So why don't we start with the event itself and. Or prior to the event, if we can, some of the things I don't want to get too touchy, but some of the things that were lessons that were not learned, lessons that were learned, and things that we're moving forward, because it is a classroom of the future for the rest of the country with natural disasters, correct?
Absolutely. And first and foremost, what I like to always say is New Orleans is open for business, so come on down. But a lot of the stuff that we have seen has been more internal to us than what the public gets to see. So come on down to New Orleans. We just had the Final Four. Great event. So welcome anyone that wants to come down to New Orleans. And one of the stories that I always like to tell is when you start talking about Katrina, is why do people stay and why do people go? And the story that I always like to say is that being a native New Orleanian, I've lived through several hurricanes that have actually come through New Orleans. Betsy was the first one that really hit us in my lifetime. And we stayed for that, and there was a little water, but it was okay. And the night before, Saturday night, I was actually trying to decide whether I would go or not. And I heard on the radio Max Mayfield, who at the time was the head of the Hurricane Center in Miami. He was talking about the supplies that one would need to, if one decided to stay. So you had your food, your water, your gasoline, your candles, your normal things. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that he added at the end of that is he says, you're going to really need an axe. And I thought, axe, okay, not staying for axe. And the axe was actually the perfect example of how many people got stuck in their attics and couldn't get out because of the flooding that actually happened.
So
that is always my typical story, as I tell everybody, you know, I can do the food, the water, all of that, and stay without electricity for 4 or 5 days, but, you know, I'm not axing my way out of my house. So, you know, and again, but that was the night before Sunday, and the hurricane, of course, hit on Monday. So a lot of people didn't have the time or the wherewithal to get out within a 24-hour period.
Now, in the Florida hurricanes, you know, from the East Coast and the West Coast, and I was down after post-hurricane cleaning up and doing what I do for a living. The hurricanes that hit the Louisiana, they're a different potency, correct?
Yeah, and it was, and just using Katrina as an example, Katrina actually missed, the eye of the hurricane actually missed the city itself. The outer walls actually hit the eastern side of New Orleans. So the Gulf Coast, Mississippi Gulf Coast, got the preponderance of that. It's a Category 5 that actually turned down to a Category 3 before it actually hit the Gulf Coast. The Gulf Coast got all the water and rain and wind directly affected with that Category 3 storm, and it was really, really terrible for them. We had a different set of issues here. We actually felt that we had actually been spared the effects of Katrina, but what really got us when our levees broke. And I always like to say is that this was an actual man-made event, not a natural disaster. And that's something that a lot of people get lost in when we talk about Katrina. With our levees failure, what we had was water in some places 14 to 16 feet for weeks, not days, weeks. So it was really, it was a different ball of wax than we had ever seen in the history of the United States. And the real truth of this, it was a complete systematic failure. I mean, we had everything that could possibly fail, failed us. And that's why our recovery has been so slow, is that where do you start? I mean, when you have nothing, where do you start? We had no, you know, we had very few people left in our city. We had no electricity, no water, no sewer. Infrastructures had been very badly damaged. We had essentially city government that was all over. Initially, the first few weeks were spent in search and rescue. Then it became recovery of bodies and things like that. So how does one begin to build from that? And that's where New Orleans has been the real great test tube, I guess is the best way to say that. Learning from this is what have we learned? What do we do right? What do we do better? What should never happen again? And that's where I kind of got involved in the dialogue and saying, this is a horrible event. Hope it never happens to anybody ever. But there's a lot of things that we can do from this. And, you know, to speak very cleanly on the resilience of the community here, New Orleanians is, we say this, you know, it's a hellhole down here. It's hot. Mosquitoes are big as birds. You know, it's miserable in August, but you know, it's our little hellhole, and we love it here. And we're not going to let this city die. So, you know, how do we continue to allow our city to grow and become vibrant?
Now, you work with DHS, FEMA, Department of Homeland Security, and FEMA, Stevens Disaster Management Institute at Louisiana State U, LSU, if you like. Numerous media interviews with Bloomberg Business. You know, you have a plethora of intel to get out there. What I found, you know, when we hooked up yesterday was I think about this because let me back up just for a second. The show when we first started this program, it was about helping our neighbor basically. You know, I wanted them to be a little more prepared. Listen, I'm in business. You know, I own a ServiceMaster, you know, my restoration company, CPP Emergency Services. You know, I'm in business to make money. However, a pipe break or a small fire, these things are going to happen. I don't want to see a burnt house. I don't want to see a house floating down the river and those types of things. So when we started doing it, it was always, community. How do you help your fellow community? And that's where you're starting, not where you're starting, but you have, it's really starting at the community level and moving up because, like I've said 1,000 times, the government's not there anymore.
No, FEMA can't come. I mean, that's a lesson learned. FEMA doesn't come for 72 hours. So essentially, the city government is on its own. And that means the population is on its own. And so, again, what we have is government, I believe very strongly, is their job is to rebuild infrastructure, to build what was there or rebuild what was there before. And then it kind of leaves the citizenry out in the cold. You know, we look to the government and say, where's mine or how can I get it? And, they really don't have the resources to do that. So one of the things that I've been very actively involved in over the last couple of years is how can we build this concept of a total whole community resilience? So how can the community become resilient? And that doesn't necessarily mean through disaster preparedness. It has to be through economic upturns, economic downturns. We've seen this very clearly over the last few years in the Rust Belt, where automobile industries are closing. How can this business? How can our communities thrive? Small communities. People are moving out. How can we maintain our community with a sense of community? And that's really been for me, the very interesting dialogue is that's where there's no one really speaking to that. So what I talk about is, what can I do? Where is my involvement in this? If I'm a member of this community, what do I need to do? And what I have found in talking to the citizens is that's really the question, is that, this is really great, Bonnie. What do I need to do? How do I get involved? Where do I volunteer? How do I get active in this? And that's one of the things that we're doing down here is we're actually starting a nonprofit that focuses very specifically on the concept of resiliency. So it really needs to be a grassroots effort. So not letting the powers that be dictate. It's bringing the ideas up from the bottom and kind of meeting the government and the businesses in the middle. So this is what we call a true public-private partnership, mm-hmm. where the businesses the public obviously will be your government. Then you have faith-based organizations, student groups, you have PTOs, you have neighborhood associations, your universities. You bring all of these people together, business leaders, and just interested people walking down the road who are really interested in their community and saying, this is something that we really like to see happen. How can we make this happen? And if it's done in the right way, you really can get some pretty cool dialogue. And we've actually had some pretty good success with that with some of the projects that are actually going on down here. And so there's a redevelopment of a old military site that was put up to public discussion and is now actually being developed as a building focusing very specifically on disasters. And New Orleans recognizes that this is an exportable set of knowledge. And so this whole building is, it's 5 buildings actually that are going to be redeveloped in the idea of this disaster resilience or just resiliency, sustainability. And so this is the kind of things that, is in this idea actually came from someone in the neighborhood. No one was smart enough to figure this out, not economic development people, government people. Someone in the neighborhood said, this is a really great idea and I think you should do it, and they did it. So it's really pretty cool when you actually sit down and talk to people. They really do have much more common sense and much more ability to make an impact on their community than I think they really know and maybe others give them credit for.
I agree with that. One thing I did not mention, Bonnie is currently serves as the chapter president of the Southeast chapter, the ACP. Everybody knows the ACP, Association of Contingency Planners, and is also the corporate member of the Association of Contingency Planners, corporate board member, excuse me. And project manager for the Greater New Orleans Resiliency Project. I think of the government now, and I say, when we have our leaders talk about, and again, you and I both know the show is not not political, but it's real life, an example is the American people don't want that. How do they know? Where how do they know what, you know, somebody in the Ninth Ward, what do they know? Or where you know, because, and I also want to talk about the parishes. I want you to educate the people on how the city is divided up into parishes, not counties also. But they don't know. And your perfect example is here is a person from a neighborhood saying, here's an idea, and executing it. And that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, and that's the power of it. I mean, that's really what it's about, is that to me, you know, what I talk a lot about is, you know, city government puts together, you know, these open forum meetings. And, of course, we had a lot of open forum meetings on development of neighborhoods here in New Orleans after Katrina and after the oil spill. We've had a lot of open forums about that. And a lot of these open forum meetings, when you go to, there's a lot of yelling and screaming. Mm-hmm. And everybody has these. You know, everybody's yelling and screaming about something. And to me, there's a place for that, but there's also a place for an open forum meeting where it's about a dialogue, where it's really not about who's at blame or who's at fault or what's done right, what's done wrong. You know, you're right, I'm wrong, shut up. What we really need to start doing is tapping the other side of the human brain and saying, what do we need to do? How can we create something better? Right. If I've got to live in this community and I want to call this my community, my home, and I have to raise a family, and I have to, you know, drive to work, walk to work, I want to live in a community that has X. And everybody has a community that they define differently. And us in New Orleans, you know, we happen to have a lot of parties. We happen to eat a lot of food. we happen to drink liquor down here, and we actually like to drink liquor on the streets. So, you know, again, when it's a little bit different. So, yeah, again, what we would call a community, somebody might not.
Right. We're going to, Bob, give me a second. We got to do a couple minutes in commercial, and we'll pick up right there with drinking on the streets.
When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need answers. Service Master Restoration by CPP is the answer. Service Master Restoration by CPP is a full-service emergency services and restoration company. With 25 years of experience in emergency management and restoration, our seasoned team of skilled professionals is ready to assess damages and restore your property to its pre-loss condition.
Who do I call first? What about insurance? Is it safe to stay here? What do I do next?
Fire, smoke, water, or mold, Service Master Restoration by CPP restores your property and your peace of mind. To reach Service Master Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. Service Master Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
I know it's tough to hear me with this firefighter's air pack on, but it's the only way I can be in this smoldering pile of ashes that was my office. And I could get in trouble, but I hope you won't make the same mistake I did, since at least one in four businesses that suffer this type of loss never reopen. So here goes. Just 3 days ago, we sat in this melted wreck of what used to be a conference room, talking about how good things were. Over there was the tech room. The fire's bad enough, but the water damage really gets me. Look, here's an article describing us as visionaries. I should have done our disaster plan, but with everything else, I just didn't see this coming. Visionaries, huh? Well, the good news is, at least the ashes can't burn down.
There'll always be a few fires to put out around the office, unless it's not around anymore. But when you have a disaster plan, you can adapt, recover, and stay in control. Go to ready.gov and make your company's plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
When Americans volunteer to serve their country promises to take care of them when they come home. For a paralyzed veteran, day-to-day living is a major challenge. Paralyzed Veterans of America works to make sure our veterans get all the benefits they were promised from the country they proudly served. A spinal cord injury is an injury for life.
And at Paralyzed Veterans, we are their partners for life.
To help America's veterans, visit pva.org.
Thank you. I want to get back because I got Bonnie on the phone. Bonnie Canal is a nationally recognized leader in community resilience innovations and strategies and is the founder and managing partner of Resiliency Institute, LLC. It's a TRI for short. Bonnie, before we went to the break, we did say what's different of our communities and what a town, and you're like up in the north, we have towns, we have counties, you have parishes. Explain to me and to my listeners, you know, because, you know, in following the hurricane, I was going to go down there and I had done the, you know, the 7 months down or 9 months or 7 months, 6 months, you know, the hurricane in Florida. And my wife's like, you're not going away again. You're not, you know, I'm, you know, you better come back or don't come home at all. You know, it's kind of the state is kind of quartered up into different the parishes. Explain that to me.
Well, what we have down here is, of course, you know, Louisiana is a lot different than any other part of the country, and we take a great deal of pride in that. You know, we're a poor state, but we at least we're different, and we take pride in that. So we don't have counties; we have parishes. And one of the things that we were talking about yesterday, Chris, is that the difference between the state is actually we actually have our state's divided in three or four parts, depending on how you want to look at it. Mm-hmm. We have Southeast Louisiana, which, of course, is New Orleans. And if you ask a New Orleanian, which, of course, I am one, it's all that matters. No one comes to any other place in the state of Louisiana except for New Orleans. In fact, most people don't even know, well, I want to say most, but a lot of people don't even know that New Orleans is in the state of Louisiana. So, again, what we have is this metropolitan area that is dictated by the city. We have west of here, so southwest Louisiana, which is really the Acadiana. When people talk about Cajuns, that's where they're from, is southwest Louisiana. And then for the people in New Orleans, we have the rest of the state. The rest of the state will divide themselves up into two parts, but what we call that is, you know, north. And that's really more of what we call a very typical southern state. So if you go in northern Louisiana, central Louisiana, even though it's a little bit quirky, it still is agriculture-based mm-hmm. and smaller communities. We just have a couple of cities in that area. So it looks very similar to like a Mississippi or an Alabama. And so, again, what happens here with monies coming to the state is that there's a lot of push and pull between the northern part of the state and the southern part of the state. The southern part of the state tends to be more Catholic, which means, you know, more drinking, more liberal in those ideas, more festivals. Northern part of the state, a lot more conservative. So, again, when trying to do recovery or resiliency, you really are talking about two different animals, essentially, mm-hmm. is that because there's this push and pull. And as I said yesterday, I don't think the state is any different than what it looks like across the United States. You know, we have 50 states here, and every one of them are so inherently different. And so when trying to pass laws or govern, you know, 50 different states, I mean, if we divide ourselves in the state of Louisiana in three or four different sections, you can imagine, you know, 50 states actually becomes, you know, numerically a nightmare for our Congress and our senators and our president to try to legislate on that. Mm-hmm. And so that, to me, is where communities really make a difference. So what we tend to do, in my opinion, is look up to our federal government and say, what are you going to do? And I tend to look at this and, you know, listen, I mean, I was very, very young when John F. Kennedy made his speech, you know, ask not what your country do for you, but you can do for your country.
Right.
But I really believe that. And it's not necessarily for the United States of America that I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do this for me. And because of the outflow of that, it directly affects my community. So where am I involved in my community? Who do I touch? Who touches me? How can I improve that touch? How can I improve? So do I, you know, pick up a piece of paper off the ground? Well, I didn't really throw it there, but, you know, should
All
I
right.
pick it up?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
real simple.
Yeah, it is that simple. And that's what I think about, you know, you take care of if local governments, I'm not saying that they're not taking care of it. That's not the point I think you and I are trying to make is if, and it takes time. You know what? You know, you work hard. We talked about it, you know, it used to be 5 pounds in a 3 pound bag. Now it's 10 pounds in a 3 pound bag. Where is the time or the energy to volunteer or to get involved? It's trying. It's like, you know what, you just want to go home and watch television. But, you know, if you take Europe and in the Middle East and, you know, Europe being the numerous world wars and such, and then the Middle East, you know, nowadays and in the last 30 some odd 40 years, you know, they're always under some form of stress of a disaster, and human disaster, that is, not too many natural disasters. but they had to take the time to be prepared. And I think that, and that's what I love about the program. That's why I love, I knew the show was going to be fantastic, is because if you start down real small, you know, you don't have to wait for the government to come. And, you know, even in, on the state level, you don't have to wait for them to come. Communities can kind of take care of themselves for 3, 4, 5 days.
And forever. I mean, that's really the point, is that it, absolutely 3, 4, 5 days or forever. And, you know, what's really interesting about local government, city government, is that they're mandated to provide these services, but they're not necessarily funded. They're funded by local tax dollars. Mm-hmm. And we all know that, you know, I don't have any more money, you know, and so the city government, but it's still mandated to give these services. So that's where the public-private partnership comes in, is that, is there a way where I can use volunteer help, volunteer opportunities to really kind of help our city government become more effective? Is there something that a business can do? And I'm not talking about, you know, private sectoring everything. What I'm talking about, is there a way for a business to get actively involved? One of the things that I hear a lot from business owners is that when it is a time of a disaster, the governments come to them and expect them just to write checks. You know, give me a check. And what the business owners are saying is, hey, wait a minute. You know, can I be part of this dialogue in front of this? Can I contribute to this? I might have some expertise that you may be able to use.
Right.
And governments are saying, geez, I never thought about it like that. I never thought you even wanted to talk to us. And what we're finding is that the citizens are saying the same thing. It's like, you know, wait a minute. You know, I maybe I can help you with this idea. It may seem a little bit crazy. So the idea is to create a place, and it's not a literal place, but it's a place where people can really begin to talk about the challenges that happen within their community. And also, you know, talking about the good stuff. I mean, you live here because you wanna.
Right.
And at least, you know, that's what most people would say, unless they're on their way out. But you live here, and, you know, it's your home. And that's really a very innate thing. I mean, it's very strong. This is my home. And that's, you know, when you come to New Orleans and you talk to native New Orleanians, or you talk to anybody, you see them on TV, you hear them talk about the city, and it's our home. And I know every single person feels that way about their home. And so it's up to us to take that ownership of that and move that idea forward.
Yeah. I got a slew of comments, questions, just statements. One from Dave, it says, events like Katrina remind us that man is no match for Mother Nature. Mm-hmm. I guess that's why people and businesses need to do all they can to be prepared. Exactly. And just to reiterate is, not just write me a check, but more involvement in that. It's just not dollars. I mean, look at Haiti, perfect example. Look at all the supplies just sitting on the dock. You know, there's no difference. You know, people come and they volunteer, which is fantastic, but they come to a zone like Katrina, but they become a casualty because they can't sustain themselves. They have no provisions and such. So then they become part of the problem, if you will. And I'm not knocking it as much as having a plan if you're going to volunteer. We have another question from another comment from Lori. It says, will New Orleans ever recover to the state of being as it was before? I saw a beautiful New Orleans before the disaster. What, obviously, you get up every morning knowing that's going to happen, correct?
As beautiful it was before is kind of what we don't want to go just to that far. We want to take it even a step further. As I said, New Orleans is open. It's recovering. We're having, we had the NCAA Final Four here just yesterday. This year we host the Super Bowl, and all of these events continue to pump money back into our city. So our city is recovering. Our goal is not to take it to where it was, but to where it could be. And that's what we really talk about, is what could we vision this city to look like? What could we vision this community to be? So recovery, one of the challenges that we have is we have what we call a staggered recovery. We have some movement, and then, you stagger a little bit, some movement, then you stagger a little bit. The idea behind resiliency plans, recovery plans, is to move from response to recovery, move those two elements much more closely connected, so you don't have staggered recovery. And then you have recovery, and then you have medium-term and long-term recovery. And so what we're in the process of right now is this medium recovery. And what we are looking for is the vision of long-term recovery. What would New Orleans look like in 20 years? what do we vision our city to be like in 20 years? And you know what you do today has a direct impact on that in 20 years from now. And many people who are in this process won't be around to see that, mm-hmm, but that's not the point.
Right. You there?
Yep, I'm still
there. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Well, you did tell me to tell you to shut up when you.
I told you, just tell me to shut up.
Lori, another question from Lori is a comment, I should say. Are there business incentives to encourage new business and to move into New Orleans?
There are business incentives that the state of Louisiana has, and a lot of that is around the high-tech industry. We have large incentives for major corporations coming in. Louisiana Economic Development works very, very hard to bring in businesses to the state of Louisiana. But again, the challenges with us are, you know, you have essentially 3 to 4 states within the state. So it depends on what kind of business you're looking to bring in. But New Orleans is looking to development as a high-tech biotech industry. We have a lot of technology companies. We have the movie business here. Of course, our number one industry here is tourism.
Right.
So, you know, we continue to work on that to redevelop our city around those lines. When we lost the oil and gas industry in the 80s, it really kind of changed the temperament or the texture of the city, and we're still looking to recover that. And I think our current mayor, Mitch Landrieu, has done a really great job of trying to focus us on the direction that we need to go. However, his challenges are, you know, we're still recovering, so he's operating at a very minimum budget and trying to do the best he can with what he has. So,
another question from Lila, and I got some questions for you too. And
okay.
I'm trying to, and I know we don't have enough time. I knew we could need another hour. One from Lila: many years ago, I did business with Kenneth Gordon outside of New Orleans. Is any manufacturing still flourishing in New Orleans? It was her after her comment is was so beautiful when I saw your state. So, is manufacturing? What is there a percentage that left or destroyed? Didn't respond? Didn't come back? What?
We did lose some, whenever you have a city that's essentially closed, you know, you're going to lose, and closed, I mean, I didn't get back for 8 weeks, and so, of course, a lot of manufacturing and industries left, and so I can't speak very specifically to Kenneth Gordon, I'm not sure, but we did lose some, clothing manufacturers and things like that, because it's cost prohibitive. I mean, you cannot expect a business owner to run a business if they can't run their business for 4, 6, 8 months. You can't do it. So again, part of in response to that, what we've done, of course, is upgraded our levee systems, put in new pumping systems, really, really try to armor, for lack of a better word, our city against this again. So, but yes, there are incentives to people come, and, you know, again, we encourage people to come down here and do business. And again, LED is, Louisiana Economic Development is very, very much interested in bringing people to the state of Louisiana.
Let's go to another break. We got some more questions, and continue rock and roll with Bonnie. Be right back.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net.
You, my friend, have connections in the government. Yes, you. USA.gov, the official source for government information on thousands of topics. And like any good connection, there's no telling where it can take you. Why, one day you're getting student loan information. Next thing you know, you need job hunting tips. Today's rogue construction info could have you searching for telecommuting ideas tomorrow. The more you use USA.gov, the more uses you'll find for it. Passport applications, for example. They've been known to lead to a sudden interest in travel advisories. Our new mobile apps will even update you on the go. So whether you have information to get or ideas to give your government, check out USA.gov. Who knows? Lottery results today could lead to retirement planning tomorrow. USA.gov. With the right connections, there's no telling where you can go.
When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area.
Hi, this is Kate Valentine of the Kate Valentine UFO Show. Thank you for joining us on our journey for answers. We are traveling to you on the radio waves, the internet, and by podcasts.
Kate Valentine's UFO Show. Watching strange visitors that come and go.
The UFO Show with Kate Valentine, Friday afternoons at 1 on WVNJ.
Thank you to our sponsors who have supported the show and our journey for answers.
We're back with Bonnie Canal, a nationally recognized leader in community resilience, innovations, and strategies. Go to my website, drhradio.net. Bonnie's bio's on there. I want to give all the air to Bonnie, and I want to read her bio again. Bonnie, I got a question from Beth, and it's going to lead into my question. Not too many communities experience the depth of a disaster that you did, but some do. I hope your community involvement programs can be implemented in other communities because the outcome will be far better. I worked in Haiti, and though the people welcomed needed help, but they're a different culture. And if the community had power and knowledge to get involved, restoration could be quicker and more. This is what we were talking about yesterday. There's a segment of New Orleanians, if you will, that that you have big challenges to get that information because they're economically challenged.
Yeah, I like to call them the underserved.
Underserved.
And they're because of the fact that they really don't have an avenue in. And to speak directly to what Beth says, our goal is whatever we do here is to really build it around what we've done and really take this up and bring this up. Is that, one of the things, with the association that I have with the Association for Contingency Planners, doing some work with Meta Leadership, a program sponsored by CDC, is to kind of really how can we develop something that can actually work in other cities. And we have other partners across the United States that are very, very interested in this. And so to address that, absolutely. And one of the things that we learned in talking about Haiti is that I had a wonderful opportunity to meet the Secretary of State. That's the best way he could describe his job title of Haiti the other day. He was in New Orleans. And that's one of the things we were talking about is engagement of the community. And we have this displaced poor here that we're not able to come back. And for us, it was just generation after generation after generation of poor. And it's really, it's not like the poor like you see in the South. What we have is in our lower ninth ward, which got tons of play on both radio, TV, news, and all. What you had there was people that lived in their aunt's, mother's, grandma's house. And they just moved from family member to family member from family member. So you had multi-generations living there with no clear title to this house. So now when the federal government comes in and wants to help you rebuild your house, there's no title on this house.
Wow.
So how can I rebuild a house that I don't even have a title on? So that was a real problem with us. And so, again, how can you get this community, displaced community or underserved community, actively involved? And there are, I use this example all the time, is that if we're going to call for for an evacuation, so we're going to evacuate the city of New Orleans again, and now we really need to go door to door. And if I'm going to Mrs. Jones' house down in the lower nine, and a police officer's coming to knock on the door, I can bet, you know, 9 times out of 10, she's not going to open that
mm-hmm,
door.
Right.
You know, but if Reverend Parsons comes by, she's going to open that door. Or, you know, or a neighbor that she goes to church with and knocks on that door, she's going to open that door. And that's really what communities do is to really be able to talk to each other, to understand what each other needs. You know, does Mrs. Jones, does she have a ride out? I mean, can she get out? I mean, is she going to stay here? We lost a lot of senior citizens simply because they were too afraid to leave. They couldn't go anywhere. I mean, how do you put a senior citizen on a bus for 15 hours? You know, I mean, what is that like? I mean, all they know is where they live.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, these are the kind of issues when you're facing these challenges. They're very, very complex. Luckily, our governor's Office of Homeland Security has really addressed the needs of the underserved and of the elderly. I mean, have really started to look at this because of our, unfortunately, the loss of life. We've had to recognize that every citizen, you know, has different needs, and again, there's select groups that you have to really kind of look after. And, you know, the senior citizens are one that do need a little bit of extra special care.
You know, you and I talked about it. Yesterday was, do we think like the 50s, where you knew your neighbor, you by face, you knew everybody in your community. Now it's, like I said, 10 pounds in a 3-pound bag, and you're running here, and neighbors aren't the way they used to be. Block parties, you don't see them as much anymore. There's the disconnect. And these are my opinions. This is what I see. I'm a pretty open and friendly guy. So I think your personalities is our mine and yours are very similar. There lies in the challenge too.
Absolutely. I mean, I live in Algiers Point, which is directly across the river from the from downtown and from the French Quarter. So I get to see the French Quarter every day. But we live in a different community. I live in a walking around community where people say hello to each other. People wave to each other as you go by. We have block parties all the time here. Of course, you know, anytime there's an opportunity for band and beer, you know, people are going to show up. But we live in that kind of neighborhood. And so and that's really pretty cool. I mean, I talk about this all the time. When I was a little kid and I'd go around the corner and play and I did something wrong, by the time I got home, 15 people had already called my mom, you know. So again, it's one of these things of, If I know my neighbor, I'm more likely than not going to hate him. You know, I got a lot of neighbors. I mean, I live in New Orleans. Got a lot of crazy neighbors, and frankly, I'm probably one of the crazy neighbors. But
that's why you're on the show.
I know them.
That's why you're on the show.
I tend to say, oh, that's, you know, they like people say to me, oh, that's just Bonnie. Leave her alone. She's fine. And it's very fundamental. Is that, you know, a part of the community is every single person. Every single person in that community is viable and has to have a place. Every place. Every person here has their place, you know, from our homeless to our sick, you know, to our crazies. And I don't, no insult meant to the crazies, mm-hmm. because I classify myself as one of those,
mm-hmm.
You know, to our educated or uneducated. I mean, young and old, white, black, Hispanic, Vietnamese, you know, everybody has a place here. And that's what makes New Orleans a gumbo, is that we are so diverse here.
Yeah, the philosophy is now being practiced. That philosophy down with the community outreach listen, you're the managing partner of Resiliency Institute, and you're in business to make money. And but it's you know, like many guests I've had on the program, you know, it doesn't stink doing the right thing. I mean, it doesn't hurt doing the right thing. And I that's what that's so fantastic about the guests that have been on the program, and obviously including you. The lessons learned there, and I love the question from Beth about, you know, how do we implement it across the board? And because you have the ears of some national people, you've seen and talked to some heavy hitters, and they're listening.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what it is. We're very, very fortunate. And I often say this, you know, I'm just some girl walking down the road, you know, Bonnie Canal from New Orleans. How in the world did this happen? Fortunately or unfortunately, we've had a lot of people that have looked at us down here. And I got interested in this kind of, as we say down here, crawfished into it. You know, I kind of backed into this business. Didn't know it was a business, didn't even care, but started to pay attention, and people actually started to pay attention to the stuff we're saying. And so to me, there are many, many opportunities to look to building more resilient communities. There are several nonprofits in and around the United States that are based on this premise. The one thing that we do down here that we're really trying to try is a little bit different. We don't want this built around disasters. We want this to be built around the idea that Craig Fugate talks about, Director of FEMA, is the whole community approach. So again, it's bringing in all aspects. So you have to bring in economic development. I mean, this is a major plus for all economic developers. If I could put together a great plan to attract businesses, it will increase the bottom line of our community, increase tax rolls, more students in schools, fire department. It's astronomical what we're doing. And so again, everything that we're trying down here is, believe me, I'm not that smart. It's not rocket science. Mm-hmm. All I could figure out is we got to go back to the beginning. And very quickly, I often say it's not about the answers. It's really more about the questions. And the questions that I keep hearing are the same questions, and you're getting the same answers, and you're getting the same results. So all I try to do is think of different questions. And so if you think of a different question, and more often than not I hear, well, geez, I never quite thought about it like that. And that's all it takes. I mean, in my opinion, I mean, that's all I've ever done is say, well, this doesn't seem to be working. What can we do different?
Right.
And so that begins a different dialogue.
Yeah. Problem solving. You know, I think we little get, everybody gets caught up in whose fault it is, and we just focus on the fault and, you know, where are we going with that? The old beating the dead horse thing. It just doesn't fly. I don't live in that world. I didn't have the opportunity to live in that world when, we were growing up. You know, if something happened, you resolved it. In many, many ways you can resolve problems. But, Bonnie, there's more. I know I wanted to talk, about economics down there that could be, you know, being up from the, you know, up here in Jersey in the north, people say, like, you know, New Orleans, it got crushed, you know, why bother stinking money back into it? But, you know, you've made the perfect example about Joplin and other cities that get crushed with natural disasters. It's the American way of life. So, and I think we have another show with that. And I'd like for you to come back on if that's possible. And also,
my pleasure.
I also have a conference in William Patterson University, which is a university up here in Jersey. I'd like to get your thoughts on the format of that conference, and maybe you can help me out with that. Bon, excellent talking to you. Social media, we'll be staying in contact with that. That's always a good thing. That's really bad. So Bonnie Canal is, again, managing partner of Resiliency Institute, also the president of the chapter of Southeast Chapter, I should say, the ACP down in New Orleans. Bon, I'll reach out for you. Be safe, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks. Y'all have a great day.
You too. Take care. You know what? I was, and I can't do that to me. You're killing me. But anybody wants to, we have social media, Facebook, Twitter, drhradio.net. Bonnie's bio is up on the website. Comment, get the word out there about the program. It's we're getting some national recognition here, and we're doing the right thing. I'm very fortunate to fall into this industry of trying to preparedness. And listen, I make a living. I have a Service Master franchise. I do business because I want to do business, but I also help people out. So. Like I say, the 200 Club, we're going to hopefully have Jack on in a couple of weeks, 200 Club here in Bergen County, and also end the war. Let's bring home our troops. These kids will keep on dying. We just see in the Waldwick kid. It's a mess. Let's just end the war. Let's God bless our country. We'll talk next week. Take care.